You know, we often make financial decisions almost on autopilot, don't we? Just letting things tick along without really digging in.
Yeah, that happens a lot.
So today, we want to hit the brakes on one specific area, life insurance policies, and explore something maybe not everyone thinks about the idea of actually selling your policy. It's called a life settlement.
Right.
Because here's the thing. That policy you've maybe had for years, the one you figured was just for your family way down the road, it could actually be a pretty significant financial asset for you right now.
That's exactly it. A life settlement, well, it's basically selling your existing life insurance policy to a third party.
Okay.
And you usually get more than the cash surrender value the insurance company would give you, but naturally less than the full death benefit.
So it unlocks money that might otherwise just disappear if the policy lapses, or if you just take the company's low ball offer.
Precisely. It's a way to potentially access a good chunk of money that you wouldn't see otherwise.
Okay, that sounds, well, potentially really valuable. So here's the big question then. If it can be such a good option, why do life settlements sometimes seem to, you know, raise eyebrows? Why do they have this kind of negative reputation hanging around?
That's a really important question.
And that's really our mission for this deep dive today. We want to understand why that perception is out there and, maybe more importantly, who doesn't like them and why. We know you want the real story without getting totally bogged down, so let's jump in. Our info today, by the way, comes from various financial industry sources.
Okay, so a big part of this this negative image, it often comes straight from the life insurance companies themselves.
The companies that issued the policies in the first place.
Exactly. And to understand why, you kind of need to look at how they make money. Their business model. A really key factor for their profitability is when policyholders, well, when they stop paying premiums and the policy just lapses.
Lapses meaning they cancel it. They get nothing back.
Correct. They stop paying, the coverage ends, and no death benefit is ever paid out.
Wow. Okay, so let me get this straight. Someone pays premiums, maybe for decades, life changes, they can't afford it anymore or just don't need it.
Mm.
They let it go.
Mm.
And the insurance company keeps all those premiums and avoids paying the big death benefit down the line.
That's it. That's a huge financial win for them.
Right.
When lots of policies lapse like that, those collected premiums become pure profit, essentially.
So it's actually in their financial interest for people not to keep their policies active until the end or find another option like a settlement?
Absolutely. So consequently, you'll often find they have a, let's say, a vested interest in discouraging life settlements. You might see articles, maybe blog posts, videos, suggesting selling your policy is somehow a bad idea or unethical.
So the information we might find online or wherever might not be totally neutral. We should consider who's saying it.
You really should. The messaging often lines up perfectly with their financial goals. Yeah. Now, here's where it gets even more interesting, especially when you look back historically.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that negative vibe comes from the history of something similar called viaticals, mainly back in the 1990s. This was particularly prominent during the AIDS epidemic.
Viaticals? I think I've heard that term. It sounds a bit grim.
It was, frankly. These were investments tied to the life expectancy of people who were terminally ill. Essentially, investors were buying policies and, well, betting on when the person would pass away.
Oof. Yeah, that sounds ethically questionable at best.
Right. And the big problem was, it was a largely unregulated space back then, which unfortunately opened the door for abuses, even outright fraud sometimes. You had these unregulated middlemen pushing these investments.
And the whole idea of investing based on someone dying sooner rather than later, I can see how that created a really bad public image.
Definitely. And that historical baggage, that really negative perception from the viatical era, it cast a long shadow. It's taken time for the legitimate life settlement industry to distance itself from that.
So that old reputation still kind of clings to the modern life settlement idea, even though things have changed.
It certainly has influenced perception. But, and this is crucial, there's been a massive shift. The big change is regulation, state-level regulation.
Okay, so government stepped in.
Yes. Right now, 43 out of 50 states have specific laws and regulations governing life settlements. That's a huge majority.
43 states. Wow. That does sound like a big difference from the 90s.
It's night and day, really. It shows the industry has matured, that there are consumer protections in place now. We're talking about things like licensing, disclosure requirements, privacy standards.
See, it's not the Wild West anymore.
Not at all. The modern industry operates under much stricter rules, has very few consumer complaints relative to its size, and honestly, it can be a really sound financial solution for seniors in the right situation.
Okay, so let's dig into that a bit more. Who doesn't like life settlements now in this regulated environment? You mentioned the insurance companies are top of the list.
Without a doubt. We talked about their profit model lapses are good for their bottom line. Life settlements disrupt that.
How so, exactly?
Well, a settlement gives the policyholder another choice. Instead of just letting the policy lapse and getting nothing, or taking the often very low cash surrender value from the insurer.
Right, the cash surrender value. That's the amount the insurance company offers if you just hand the policy back to them.
Exactly. And in many, many cases, that cash surrender value is way less, I mean, significantly less than what you might get by selling the policy on the open market through a life settlement.
Can you give an analogy, maybe?
Sure. Think about trading in your used car at the dealership versus selling it privately.
Okay, yeah. The dealer gives you a low price so they can sell it for more. If I sell it myself, I'll probably get a better deal.
Precisely. The insurance company offering a cash surrender value is kind of like the dealer. They're buying back their own product, their contract, at a discount. A life settlement is more like selling it on the open market to get closer to its real market value.
That makes a lot of sense. So do insurance companies ever, like, actively try to block or slow down settlements?
Well, there have definitely been anecdotal reports and even some legal situations where carriers seem to put up roadblocks. Things like creating unnecessary delays in transferring the policy ownership, even when all the paperwork is perfectly in order.
Really? Just making it difficult.
It can feel that way. That kind of resistance, you know, it can definitely discourage people from going through with the settlement, even if it's the best option for them.
Wow. Okay, so insurance companies have clear reasons. What about financial advisors? Where do they typically stand on this? Are they recommending settlements?
Well, it's a bit more of a mixed bag with advisors. It's not always straightforward.
How so?
Some advisors might be hesitant, maybe even steer clients away from settlements. And there could be a few reasons for that.
Like what?
Sometimes it's simply a lack of deep understanding. It's a niche area. Maybe they aren't fully comfortable with the process. Other times, there might be concerns about potential liability down the road.
Okay, understandable.
And then there's the issue of potential conflicts of interest, specifically how the advisor gets paid.
Ah, compensation. How does that play into it?
Well, think about it. Many advisors work on commission. They earn money by selling new financial products, new insurance policies, new investments.
Right.
Recommending that a client sell an existing policy. That usually doesn't generate a new commission for the advisor.
Ah, I see. So their incentive might be to recommend something new that pays them rather than exploring the sale of an old policy that doesn't.
It's a potential conflict, yes. Their advice might, consciously or unconsciously, lean towards strategies that align with their own compensation structure rather than purely focusing on maximizing the value of that existing asset for the client.
That's definitely something for listeners to be aware of when getting financial advice. Okay, so we've talked about the history, the regulations. Let's touch on the legal side. Is selling your life insurance policy actually, you know, legal?
Oh, absolutely. It's been legally established for over a century, actually. There was a landmark Supreme Court case back in 1911, Grigsby v. Russell.
1911.
Yeah. It basically established that a life insurance policy is personal property. It's an asset, like a house or stocks, and the owner has the right to sell it to whomever they wish.
So it's your property, you can sell it. Simple as that.
Fundamentally, yes. Now, there's the concept of insurable interest, which means you need a valid reason to buy a policy on someone initially, like being family or a business partner.
Right. You can't just insure a random stranger hoping they,
Exactly. But that insurable interest is only required when the policy is first issued. It's not required for a third party to buy an existing policy later on in a settlement.
Got it. And is this market growing? Are people actually doing this?
Yes. The market has seen steady growth. Looking at data from a few years back, like 2020, we saw increases in both the number of policies being settled and the total face value involved. It's becoming more recognized.
And who's buying these policies?
It's largely institutional investors now. Think pension funds, investment banks, hedge funds. They see life settlements as what's called a non-correlated asset class.
Meaning its performance isn't tied directly to the stock market or bond market ups and downs.
Exactly. So it helps them diversify their portfolios. This institutional involvement also adds another layer of sophistication and scrutiny to the market.
Okay. And who typically qualifies to sell their policy? Is it for anyone?
Generally, it's geared towards older individuals, usually age 65 or older. the policy typically needs to have a face value, that's the death benefit amount, of at least $50,000, sometimes $100,000 or more, depending on the buyer.
And does the type of policy matter, like whole life versus term?
Most types can qualify universal life, whole life, even convertible term policies in some cases. The key is usually that the policy has been in force for at least 2 years, sometimes longer depending on state regulations, to avoid issues related to policies bought just to be immediately sold.
Right, the regulations we talked about. And these include things like making sure the seller understands everything.
Absolutely. The regulations are built around consumer protection, things like mandatory disclosures. The seller has to be told about alternatives, tax implications, effect on public assistance eligibility. There's licensing for providers and brokers, privacy protections. Often the closing happens through escrow, like a real estate deal. And importantly, there's usually a rescission period.
A cooling off period.
Yeah, where the seller can change their mind even after agreeing to the sale, usually for about 15 days or so. It ensures they're not rushed into a decision.
That sounds pretty comprehensive. So, despite the old reputation, it seems like a legitimate regulated option now, especially for seniors.
It really can be. And that brings us to a crucial point, the potential benefit for seniors. Sometimes the money locked in that policy is desperately needed for current expenses, particularly healthcare or long-term care.
Yeah, that's a huge issue for so many families.
It is. And that's where some interesting partnerships are forming. For example, Asset Planning Life Settlement actually partners directly with senior care providers.
Oh, interesting. How does that work?
The goal is really collaboration. They work with senior living communities, home care agencies, places like that, to make sure seniors and their families are aware that selling a life insurance policy might be an option to help pay for that ongoing care.
So unlocking that asset specifically to fund care needs.
Exactly. It's about presenting another financial tool, another potential solution for seniors who might be struggling to afford the care they need and deserve. It helps bridge that financial gap using an asset they already own.
That sounds incredibly practical and helpful. If there is a senior care provider listening, maybe someone running an assisted living facility or a home care agency, and they want to learn more about this for the seniors they serve, what should they do?
They should definitely reach out. They can call Asset Planning Life Settlement directly at 713-715-1681.
Okay, that's 713-715-1681.
Right. They can speak with a licensed representative who can explain everything. And importantly, Asset Planning Life Settlement also offers free educational seminars.
For the care providers or for the seniors?
For both, really. They can educate the staff at care facilities and also provide information directly to seniors and their families, helping them understand what a life settlement is, how it works, and if it might be right for their situation to afford continued care.
Free educational seminars, that sounds like a great resource. Removes some of the mystery around it.
Absolutely. It's all about providing clear information so people can make informed choices.
Okay, so let's try to bring it all together then. The bad rap that life settlements sometimes get. It seems largely driven by, well, first, the financial interests of the insurance companies themselves who profit when policies lapse.
That's a major factor, yes. Their perspective is shaped by their business model.
And second, by that lingering shadow from the old unregulated viatical days, which were genuinely problematic.
Correct. The history definitely plays a role in public perception, even though the industry is vastly different now.
But the reality today, in most places, is a heavily regulated industry with consumer protections, offering a way for policyholders, especially seniors, to get potentially significant cash from an asset they might not have even realized had that kind of value.
That's the key takeaway. It's evolved. It's regulated. And it can provide real financial relief and options for people.
This has been really illuminating. It certainly changes how you might look at a life insurance policy. So here's a final thought for you listening. Given what you know now about why settlements might get discouraged and who might discourage them, how does understanding all your options with that policy potentially impact your financial planning or maybe the planning of someone you care about?
Yeah, it really makes you reconsider, doesn't it? Is there an asset there you haven't fully appreciated?
Definitely food for thought. Thanks so much for walking us through that.
My pleasure.